Lord, and so I pray as we go through this Bible study tonight, Lord, that you'd be glorified, that this preacher would decrease, that, Lord, your spirit would increase in me, that your word would go forth and accomplish what you've set it forth to do. And, Lord, I thank you for it. I give you all the praise, and I give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And, Lord, for each one watching tonight by way of the internet, Lord, that they would receive from your word tonight, and it would change us and transform us. And for that, we're careful to give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. So did everybody get a handout? Everybody got a handout? Sweet. Sweet. Did you get one online, by the way? Just check. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in, as Glenda so eloquently said on Sunday, verse 22. Listen, we're closer to the end of this first chapter than we were when we started. All right? So we will get through this. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So right out of the gate, here's your first fill in the blank. It's not enough to hear the word. We must do it. The time for in one ear and out the other is gone. This idea of just in one ear and out the other. Listen, if you don't have, and I'm saying this in the most loving way. Loving, Matt. Loving. L-O-V-ing. Loving. If you don't have enough rocks in there to slow it down when something goes, plug one side. Just plug one side and let it get in there and just run around. Because too often we hear things, but we don't listen to things. We got to transition from being a hearer to a doer. We've got to let God's word get inside of us and take root. So it's not enough to just hear the word. We've got to be obedient to the word. Many people have mistaken idea that hearing a good sermon or hearing and being a part of and even filling in the blanks at a good Bible study is what makes us grow and get God's blessing. But it's not the hearing, but it's in the doing that brings the blessing. It's walking this thing out. And so we've got to walk it out. Here's another fill in the blank. Too many Christians mark up their Bibles. Too many Christians mark up their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. That is a fill in the blank. Because, listen, do this. Here we go. Too many Christians mark their Bible, but their Bible never marks them. We've got to let God's word has to get inside of us to the point where when we hear God's word, we understand God's word, and God's word marks us. So if you think you're spiritual because you hear the word, then you're only kidding yourself. In the previous paragraph, James was comparing the word of God to a seed, but here he's comparing it to a mirror. And there's two references in the Bible to God's word as a mirror. And when you put it all three of them together, you discover three ministries of the word of God as a mirror. And we're going to look at those. Some people take a casual look at God's word without letting it affect their life. It's like the person who looks so quickly into a mirror that flaws go undetected and nothing changes. Listen, I'm not a primper. Okay? I'm not a primper. But I will tell you this. Before I leave my house on Sunday morning, I stand in front of a mirror. I do. With a pork chop. Do I comb my hair? I thought you liked me. I really did. Wow. It's a rough crowd in here tonight. Because the reality is, there is, enough of my past life has marked me and scarred me by my appearance. Listen, little kids are mean. I don't know if I have to tell you all this, but kids can be mean. And we didn't have a lot growing up when I was a kid. And my mom worked for a pretty wealthy family in Roseburg, and their kids had the very best of everything. And the problem was, I got the hand-me-downs of their son, who was about 4 years older than me, or 3 years older than me, and about twice my size. But I had to wear those things, and they wore the stylish stuff, like plaid pants. Now, plaid pants are bad enough, but plaid pants that don't fit, that's a whole nother level. At 13 years old, I got my first job greasing log trucks for Jim Graff. My first paycheck, you know what it went for? A pair of 501 Levi's. I wore them suckers till they fell clear off of me. And then I bought another pair. But those things will mark you. And so when my dad, in my upbringing, my dad was an ex-military guy in World War II. And my dad said, listen, the first thing another man notices about another man is his shoes. So when I come to church on Sunday morning, you want to know something? My shoes are polished. I polish my shoes. My brown boots that I wear, if I told you how old those were, you wouldn't believe me, but they're old. Because I take care of them. I take care of them. I polish them. My pants are, even these Wrangler jeans, I crease them. I iron them. My shirts, I crease the sleeves. I iron them. Because I'm not going to come in here on a Sunday morning all creased up or wrinkled up, because I don't want somebody to say something about me. Because my past has marked me, and I'm 66 years old, and I'm still not over it. It still marked me. Everybody get the sign, the card? God's word, my prayer is that we at least look into the mirror of God's word and recognize those flaws that go undetected. Here's another fill in the blank. So many people listen, but they don't act. They listen, but they don't act. How many of you know you can listen and not receive? We can listen and not receive. There's another approach. The other approach is the intent look, the deep, continued study of God's word that allows a person to begin to see the flaws and change our life to be in line with God's standards. The kind of mirror that God's word provides is a unique mirror, and it shows us our inner nature in the same way that a regular mirror shows our exterior features. I remember one time in Utah, I had a three-piece suit. I mean, I had a double-breasted suit. I mean, it was black. It was nice, double-breasted suit. For those of you that don't know, the coat flaps, they button, and I mean, your tie's showing, and I mean, everything is, you're good to go. And man, I had that thing, and I put that thing on, and I come to church, and I was dressed to the nines. I had a necktie on. I had a shirt. I had a nice shirt all ironed up. My boots were all polished. The whole thing. About halfway through my sermon, I started undressing. And when I took my jacket off, my tie was cut off right here. I mean, just cut off. My shirt had mustard and ketchup and all kind of nasty stuff all over it. And I sat down on the edge of the platform and I kicked my shoes off. Now, if you know anything about me, one thing I cannot stand is socks that have holes in them. I can't have it. I cut the whole end of my sock off. So my whole foot was sticking through that puppy. And I looked a fright. I mean, I was a mess. I was unkept. It was bad. The whole idea behind this illustrated sermon was you can get all dressed up on the outside. Nobody in the church knew. When I walked in there that morning, I mean, I looked good. I looked good. I looked put together. Everything was just, and then I started taking it off. And we can dress all up on the outside, but underneath. Hello. Both mirrors reflect what's there. And when God's word points out something in us that needs correction, we need to listen. I want to look at the three ministries of the word of God as a mirror. Number one, examination. Examination in verses 23, 24, and 25 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So the main purpose for owning a mirror is to be able to see yourself and make yourself look as clean and as neat and all those things as is possible. And as we look into the mirror of God's word, we see ourselves as we really are. And so James begins to mention several mistakes that people make as they look into God's mirror. Number one, we merely take a glance at ourselves. We don't actually carefully study ourselves as we read the Word. Here's another fill-in-the-blank. Many sincere believers read a chapter of the Bible every day, but it is only a religious exercise, and we fail to profit from it personally. It's only a religious exercise, but we fail to profit from it personally. Our conscience would bother us if we don't have our daily reading, when actually our conscience should bother us because we read the word carelessly. The word doesn't mark us, like I said earlier. Superficial reading of the Bible will never reveal our deepest needs. It's like the difference between a candid photo and an X-ray. X-rays see a little deeper than the surface. Here's another fill in the blank. The second mistake is that we forget what we see. We forget what we see. If we were looking deeply enough into our hearts, what we would see would be unforgettable. Isaiah in chapter 6 and verse 5 cried, "Woe is me, for I'm undone." Peter in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8 said, "Depart from me," when talking to the Lord, "depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." We have the story of Job, the most righteous man on earth in his day, yet he confessed in chapter 42 and verse 6, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." So mistake number three is, we fail to obey what God's word tells us to do. We think that hearing is the same as doing, but it's really not. We Christians enjoy substituting reading for doing and even talking for doing. We talk about stuff. but we don't do what God's word says. We hold endless committee meetings and we go to conferences about talking topics like evangelism and church growth, and we think we're making progress. And while there's nothing wrong with conferences and while there's nothing wrong with committee meetings, it's sinful if we aren't if they are a substitute for service. I was in a, they called it Denim and Diamonds. It was a Citizen People of the Year. Tommy was one of the honorees, whatever you, however you. Anyway, and the what I'm trying to get to is in that it was a dinner, and I was in the line and I was in a conversation with a city official, and he was talking to us about the church, and I made this statement to him, and I said, what I try and keep before the congregation all the time is, if Harvest Christian Assembly was not here, if we just vanished, would we be missed? And this city official said, you would absolutely be missed. And to me, that was a rejoicing thing, because we're making an impact in our city. So don't just talk, be a part of the doing. If we are to use God's mirror in a profitable manner, we have to gaze into it carefully with serious intent, not just a quick glance. We have to examine our heart and our lives in light of the Word of God. So here's another fill in the blank. It requires three things. Number one, time. Number two, attention. And number three, a sincere devotion. Time, attention, and devotion. 5 minutes with God every day will never accomplish deep spiritual examination. When Jesus, in chapter 9 and verse 12, the great physician begins to examine us, he uses his word, and he wants us to give him sufficient time to do the job well. And maybe one reason we glance into the word instead of gaze into the word, is that we are afraid of what we might see. After seeing ourselves, we have to remember what we are and what God says and what we must do. The blessing comes, here's your fill in the blank, the blessing comes in the doing, not the reading of the word. If you take James chapter 1 and verse 5 and translate it in the literal rendering, literally, verse 25 says, this man shall be blessed in his doing. This man will be blessed in his doing. So the emphasis in James is on the practice of the word. We are to continue after reading the word. Look at the second type of mirror. The second type is restoration. The first type was examination. Now we're talking about restoration. We got a restorer in the house, in the physical realm. At 93 or 90, how old are you? 94? At 94 years old, he's still seeing the beauty and the functionality in what has been cast aside for so long, and restores it back to where it's a vehicle that you can just drive down the road. And that's exactly what the Lord does in us, what the world would cast away and cast aside. The Lord says, no, I'm not done. I'm part of, here's the thing. The scripture says that we, as God's children, have been given the ministry if you think you don't have a ministry, I'm gonna correct you. Because the scripture says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation and restoration go hand in hand. Exodus chapter 38 and verse 8 says, He made the laver, the bronze and its base of bronze and its base of bronze from the bronze mirrors of the serving women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So when he built the tabernacle, Moses took the metal looking glasses from the women and made from them a laver, which is like a wash basin. And the laver was a huge basin, and it stood between the brazen altar of sacrifice and the holy place. You can read all about it in Exodus chapter 30, verses 17 through 21. You can get all the details. But the basin was filled with water, and the priest washed their hands and their feet at the laver before they entered the holy place to minister. Now, my son Troy is going through some rough times right now, so if you know Troy, pray for him because he's going through it. But here's the thing. He called me on Easter morning. He called me and he said, Dad, he said, what was one of the last things that Jesus did before he was crucified? Now, this is my son quizzing the pastor, his dad. And he's like, what was one of the last things that Jesus did? And so I went with, he was beat up and had to pack his. He goes, what did he do in the room with the disciples? I said, well, he, they broke bread and they did. And he said, but what else did he do? Didn't he wash their feet? And I said, yeah, he washed their feet. He said, what's another name for feet? And he said, because I was doing what you're doing. Like a mule staring at a new gate. He said, isn't it the sole of your feet? I was like, whoa, whoa. He said, you can use that, Dad. Isn't that what Jesus does? Is he washes our souls? And I'll never look at foot washing again the same way because of what that young man said to me. Jesus was in a physical sense washing their souls. And that's what the laver did. The laver was put there, and the priests washed their hands and their souls at the laver, their feet at the laver, before they entered into the holy place to minister. What in the world? Water for washing is a picture of the Word of God in its cleansing power. John 15 and 3, now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Here's fill in the blank. The church is sanctified and set apart, or the church is sanctified, which means set apart, and cleansed with the washing of water by the Word. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 26. The two words you're looking for is sanctified and cleansed. So when the sinner trusts Christ, he is once and for all washed clean. But as the believer walks in this world, our hands and our feet become defiled and need cleansing. John 13, verses 1 through 11, where you can read all about it. The mirror of the Word not only examines us, but it helps to cleanse us. You'll be renewed by the washing of the Word of God. So it not only examines us, but it helps to cleanse us. And it gives us the promise of cleansing in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. And as we meditate on the, as we think about, as we ponder the Word of God, as we meditate it, it cleanses the heart and the mind from spiritual defilement. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses our guilt. But it's the water of the Word that helps to wash away the defilement. Mm, 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 mm. Isn't that amazing? Nathan, the prophet, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, his experience with David will help illustrate this truth. Nathan told David the story about a stolen ewe lamb, and David became angry at the sin that was described by the prophet. And he said, well, what should we do? And so David told him what we should do. And Nathan said, it's you. Ruh-roh. David said, it's you. He said, thou art the man. And he held up the mirror of the word of God for David to see himself. And here's some more fill in the blanks. The result was confession and repentance. Confession and repentance. I have sinned against the Lord. So the mirror of the word did its work of examination, but Nathan didn't stop there. He used the word for restoration. He went beyond just pointing out the fault, and he begins the process of restoration. Vern, you don't restore an old vehicle overnight. It's a process that you go through. It takes time, and it takes money, and it takes parts, and all those kinds of things. And so Nathan, the man of God, the prophet, he began the restoration. In 2 Samuel 12 and 13, he said, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. And the church said, amen. I've put away your sin. You shall not die. Here's some more fill in the blanks. Here was the assurance of forgiveness and of cleansing. And it came from the Word. It came from the Word. David visited the laver, and he washed his hands and he washed his feet. If we stop at examination and restoration, we will miss the full benefit of the mirror ministry of the Word. There's a third ministry, and that's called transformation. Transformation. But we all, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, you might look in the mirror right now, and the picture might not be all that pretty, but let me just assure you, you don't have to worry about that, because there is a process of transformation that is being carried out in your life, and God is working on you. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, men, he who began a good work in you is faithful and to complete the work until the day of Christ. Listen, he just started this thing. Don't get ahead. My dad used to say, don't get the cart before the horse. Don't put your boots on before you put your pants on. After the Lord restores us, he wants to change us so that we grow in grace and not commit that sin again. And too many Christians confess their sins, they claim forgiveness, but don't grow to conquer sin and self. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is a complete discussion of the contrast between the old covenant ministry of law and the new covenant ministry of grace. Aren't you glad we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of works, lest anyone would boast? Well, what do you do for Jesus today? You understand? You can't add nothing to your salvation. The only thing you can give to Jesus for your salvation is your sin, your mess, all your life, all your shortcomings. That's why God is a restorer. The law is external. It's written on tablets of stone, but salvation means that God's word is written on your heart. written on your heart. The old covenant, here's some more. This is a fourfer. Four fill in the blanks on this one. The old covenant ministry condemned, and killed. The old covenant ministry condemned and killed, but the new covenant ministry brings forgiveness and life. It brings forgiveness and life. The glory of the law gradually disappeared, but the glory of God's grace becomes brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. The law was temporary, but the new covenant of grace is eternal. It is everlasting. It carries on and on and on. You may explain 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 in this way. When the child of God looks into the Word of God, the glass or the mirror, he sees the Son of God, and he is transformed by the Spirit of God to share in the glory of God. If you've ever melted metal, I've melted a lot of lead, tore a lot of batteries apart, used wheel weights from tire shops, and melted the lead down and made musket balls and made sinkers and all those kinds of things. And lead is a dirty metal. A lot of impurities in lead. And when you begin to melt it, it gets this filmy looking nastiness on the top of it. And you take a lollipop stick, you know, or any little piece of wood or whatever, and you just begin to scrape that off the top, and you can dip it out and throw it away. And when you do that, that lead begins, I mean, you can see your reflection in it. And it, I mean, it's almost like chrome, which is my favorite color, by the way. No, I like pink, trust me, but when the fire gets turned up under us and some of that stuff comes to the top, I think what the Lord wants to do is wipe some of that off and look down and see his reflection in us. But it takes some fire. Fire's not always comfortable. The law was temporary. The word changed in the Greek is where we get our English word, and it's amazing the way these things just keep falling into place, because they're things that I've talked about in the last number of weeks. But the word changed in the Greek gives us our English word metamorphosis. It's a change on the outside that comes from the inside. When an ugly worm turns into a beautiful butterfly, that is metamorphosis. There was an old man that took his wife to a department store mall. And he got tired of following her around, and so he found a bench and sat on the bench while she continued to shop. And this little old lady walked up, and he just happened to be sitting beside the elevator, and this little old lady come to the elevator and pushed the button and the door opened. She stepped in. He'd never seen an elevator before. He's like, oh, that's kind of cool. The bell on the, it was dinging, ding, ding, you know. Pretty quick, it dinged again, and the door opened again, and this young lady stepped out. And he's like, wow. Where's my wife? That's what he said. And he was miserable from then on. Because she beat him up. But that's what metamorphosis takes, an ugly worm like a caterpillar, and metamorphosis, something on the inside takes place and begins to give birth to something on the outside that is completely transformative. By the way, that was just a joke, okay? When believers spend time looking into the Word of God and seeing Christ, we become transformed. The glory on the inside begins to be revealed on the outside. If we sit under godly teaching and sit under God's Word and day after day after day after day after day, and we pray and we do all these things, but nothing ever changes in us, we might want to spend some more time looking at the mirror of God's Word and saying, why am I not changing? The word translated transfigured in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 2 says, and he was transfigured, talking about Jesus after he was resurrected. And the Bible says that he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. So it something has happened in Jesus. The glory, here's some more fill in the blanks. The glory of Christ on the mount was not reflected. It was not reflected. It radiated. It was radiated from within. Interestingly enough, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, you'll find the same word in that verse of Scripture, transformed. There is a transformation. It says, be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. And so as we begin to meditate on the Word, the Spirit renews the mind and reveals the glory of God. We don't become spiritual Christians overnight. You can be saved in an instant, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. My salvation is handled. But there's a transition process that begins at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. If you go look it up, memorize it, underline it in your Bible, highlight it. He who began the day you got saved, a process of transformation began in your life, and he's not done with you. He's not done. As we meditate on the Word, the Spirit renews our mind and in the process reveals the glory of God. If things play out the way I'm believing for them to play out, we are going to see the miracle working power of Almighty God. I'm just going to leave that there. But I want you to understand, if things play out the way I believe they're going to play out, Bill, Can I get an amen? Thank you. We're going to see with our eyes the miracle-working power of God. And the church said, it's a process. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of God through the mirror of God's Word. Take off the veil. Take off the veil. In Psalms chapter 139, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Every one of us have sinned. Every one of us are a mess. Every one of us need forgiveness. Every one of us, oh, thank God for the grace and the mercy of God. Thank God that His mercies are new every morning. I can lay my head down at night and know that God still loves me in the mess that I'm in, Anthony. Am I perfect? I promise you I'm not perfect. But I'm forgiven. And I'm walking in grace. And there's a process called restoration that's working in my life. That's working through. You know why? Because He who began the work of restoration. So let me close up. Wow. 2 minutes until 7. I'm going to get you out of here on time. What's that? No, I'm getting there, Dennis. I'm working that way, brother. Just cut me some slack. Cut me some slack. Our first responsibility, this is your last fill in the blanks. Our first responsibility is to receive the Word. And then we must practice the Word. And if we don't do those two things, we are simply just deceiving ourselves. God's Word is doing a work in your life. How many of you recognize that God's Word is doing something in your life? So, Glenda, you can declare this on Sunday that we will be starting in verse 26. Starting in verse 26, listen. We're going to wrap this chapter up before the end of the year. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. That's how we're going to end this chapter. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and keep oneself unspotted from the world. Wow. Pardon me? It is not about religion. But the world thinks about what we do, what we have as religion. And until they taste and see that it's more than religion, that's why they put that word in there. He is religious. How many of you know that there are some things that we ought to be religious about? Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this night. I thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. And God, that you love us in spite of us. That nothing we have done or ever will do has caught you off guard. You're not in heaven wringing your hands wondering how are we going to work this out. You've seen it from before the foundations of the earth. You declare that in your word. You have a purpose and a plan for every person in this place. Every person tonight watching by way of the internet, you have a purpose and a plan. And God, we thank you for it. And Lord, those things that we've talked about tonight that we've asked for prayer without really saying what we want the prayer for, God, you already know the outcome because you've seen it from before the foundation. Things that we worry about and fret about, you're not worried and you're not fretting because you've already seen it. You know, the end from the beginning. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight, to trust you, to know that you've got this all worked out and that you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, help us to allow your word to change us and to transform us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hey, thanks for watching tonight and joining us by way of the internet. We're glad to have you. And so if you have any questions, just type them in there. We'll do our best to get them answered. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you on Sunday.